My guest at this time is Gail Trotter. She is a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum here in Washington. She is also a frequent panelist on Media Buzz on the Fox News Channel. She joins us now to discuss what we've learned about the mainstream media from some of the latest WikiLeaks revelations. And Gail, thanks as always for being with us.
Always great to be with you, Greg.
Well, it seems like we're still at the tip of the iceberg here, potentially, from what WikiLeaks is releasing. But these 1,000 emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta suggest several different media outlets allied in some way with the Clinton campaign. You've got the head of Univision urging the Clinton team to hit Trump harder on immigration policy. You've got Donna Brazile, who was a CNN contributor, allegedly sending out a question to the campaign ahead of a Democratic debate with Bernie Sanders about the death penalty. She now denies that that ever happened. And you got the Boston Globe suggesting when the Clintons could submit an opinion piece to get maximum readership ahead of the New Hampshire primary. And the New York Times gave the Clinton campaign veto power over a profile of Hillary Clinton done in the summer of 2015. So there's long been allegations, Gail, of certainly the media willing to do what it can to promote the politician or the candidate of its choice. But what do we make of this list of revelations?
Right. The fascinating thing, I believe, is that this goes beyond just the partisan nature of Democrats versus Republicans. These stories that you're mentioning show that there's collusion even among the candidate choices on the Democratic side. So the mainstream media tends to want to dismiss any charges of bias by politicians like Trump or Ted Cruz or other very notable Republican politicians. But these revelations from the WikiLeaks information show that at the highest echelons of the New York Times, the Boston Globe, there is an effort to collude or give an assist to Hillary Clinton, which shows that these institutions are not unbiased, and they are using their positions of power in order to influence the voters and give certain candidates a lift where they are preventing other candidates from having a full and fair hearing.
Gail, I don't want to seem like I'm at Rick's Cafe in Casablanca and seem shocked by something that we've known has been going on for a long time, and that's that the mainstream media essentially sides with Democrats, whether it's a policy debate or whether it's a campaign. But from your experience, how big of a reveal is this that the media doesn't just do what it can to assist, but actively colludes, like you were saying?
Right. Well, it's the smoking gun. I mean, certainly if anybody was watching the debate, the presidential debate the other night, they could see for themselves through their own lying eyes that Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz certainly gave a much harder time to Donald Trump in terms of interrupting him, putting him on the spot, interrogating him, chasing him down with questions. They did not subject Hillary Clinton to the same level of scrutiny or rhetorical excess. But the fascinating thing is you could look at that and just have, see it with your own eyes, but it wouldn't necessarily show that there was an active effort to assist a certain candidate. You could just think, all right, Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz have their biases. It comes out in the way that they do their job, but it's maybe subconscious for them. They're not actively doing it. But when you look at these email revelations, you see, particularly with the New York Times, there was a quote by Hillary Clinton talking about the gay rights movement happening so much faster than the civil rights movement and the women's movement, and you could see that the reason that the Clinton campaign told the New York Reporter to cut it out of the article is because certainly Hillary Clinton did not want to be seen in negative light by the very strong donors of the gay rights movement. So you can see through these emails that it's not just subconscious bias, but it's an active effort on the behalf of these favored candidates by the media elite.
So how should the public view the media, in particular the mainstream media?
Oh, definitely take everything with a grain of salt. And, you know, any of these breathless reporting of any of the candidates and what they say and what they do, they should understand that there is a real effort behind the scenes to influence people's votes. And regardless what you think about the different candidates or which policies you favor, I think all voters should be aware that they are not getting straight news. They are getting news with an agenda.
So what do we do about it?
I think there is a real ability to push back now, especially with internet accessibility, like flood these institutions with emails, tweets. Twitter is a really effective way to push back, to get the attention. You could go look at the name of the reporter from the New York Times, find out his Twitter handle, and just start sending him messages asking why he thought it was journalistic integrity to allow Hillary Clinton. This was not an, from what I understand from the piece, this was not an off-the-record interview with Hillary Clinton. There wasn't an idea that it was background. It was set up to be a profile of her. So people can reach out through Twitter, Facebook, letters to the editor. But regardless of where you end up deciding to vote this year, this should be unacceptable from a profession whose job it is to inform the Democratic public so that we can exercise our most cherished freedom to vote.
We're talking with Gail Trotter of the Independent Women's Forum. And Gail, as you well know, there's a lot of chatter out there about, hey, what's the Republican Party going to look like after this campaign? Maybe what do the Democrats look like? What about the media? Not only just this story, but the way that's conducted itself over the course of this campaign. What's the media going to look like next year?
Right. It's interesting. There's a talk radio host up in Wisconsin who really pushed hard against Trump in Wisconsin through his radio show. And he had a kind of a mea culpa, I think it was an article that he wrote, talking about how talk radio has really created a distrust of the mainstream media. And that's why someone like Donald Trump could rise to prominence and get the nomination in the Republican Party. I think that he has a similar, maybe the correct conclusion, but the wrong rationale. It's not because of talk radio. It's because of the lack of integrity and objectivity on the part of mainstream journalists. And this is yet more evidence building the case, which I would say is an overwhelming amount of evidence building the case that the mainstream media has given up on its journalistic integrity and is now trying to influence the political process.
Last question before we let you go. What will convince you that there's a responsible response from these media outlets now that these revelations have come to light?
They should come clean. I mean, I think that if you look, particularly Donna Brazile, when she was asked about whether or not she had given Hillary Clinton this death penalty question in advance of a town hall where she was battling against Bernie Sanders, it didn't even have anything to do with Donald Trump. Her response was, "What a stretch." That's her response. And she's dead to rights in an email. So just talking about Donna Brazile, she was a commentator for CNN. CNN, she should have a different response when she's called to the carpet. And CNN, in addressing this, should put forward its policy about what they expect of their CNN contributors. And I think that this is a perfect opportunity for them to right the ship of their journalistic integrity. But I'm not holding my breath.
Is objectivity dead?
I don't think so. I think there are some places that still care about objectivity, and I think younger people especially care about objectivity. So people who are coming into the media world now, starting their careers in journalism, might be, influenced by this reveal of the deep lack of objectivity. And maybe it will be that the younger people coming into the profession will be able to lead the way for their elders because, you know, the business model has fallen apart. And I think that is in big part because they have basically given away their objectivity, and I think with the younger people coming in, understanding this, there may be a chance for redemption.
We'll be watching. We'll see what else WikiLeaks might have on this or other topics as the days go by. Gail, thanks very much for your time today.
Great to be with you, Greg.
Gail Trotter is senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. She's also a frequent panelist on Media Buzz on the Fox News Channel. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.